Hi, and welcome to the Making Our Way podcast. This week, it's just us as we wrap up the Mile Swap 2023 and just kind of catch up with one another. Thanks for listening. Hey guys, what you been up to?
Hey.
What's going on?
When I re-listened to the Chris episode, I was like, man, something sounds off about the intro. And it was because I just did it and went straight into talking and didn't say thanks for listening. And then I almost did it again.
Got to keep up that routine.
The routine messes with us. I think we've all been really busy because this is a Sunday. So we're several days late actually recording. Austin, what have you been up to, man?
Just working. I got sick this week. So I've been like working and trying not to die at the same time. But just pens, man, like tons and tons of pens. In fact, I've been struggling to shoot content. So I've been posting a little bit of my old stuff to try to keep the algorithm appeased.
Now, I did notice, and I don't want to jinx you, but you're like in the 90,000s on Instagram, right?
Yeah, maybe like 92 something.
Yeah. And I also simultaneously looked at what House's numbers are. Not 92, just FYI. Oh, yeah, there.
That's right. Take
y'all
that.
Y'all are shameful.
You know what? Maybe you should go on our podcast before the end of the year. No, I'm just kidding.
House knows with love. You know, it's all with joking and in love.
You're busy making content. House is busy building an empire.
I know, yeah.
I got my shipping notice on the $100 hammer.
Oh, cool.
Hopefully that comes in pretty soon. Not that I can do anything with it, but I just wanted it.
Yeah, it's he's busy. I know that for sure. I heard that the scribes are live on his site, but we haven't done any release yet. And I think it's just he's so busy and I'm so busy. We haven't even connected on it.
I was gonna say I did see him on his site because he sends out all the marketing emails, and I went to the site just to see some different products, and I saw the scribes on there, but I didn't remember either of y'all posting about them.
No, I haven't, not yet. I definitely am planning on it, but I'm just trying to survive right now.
That might be some good content for you.
Yeah. Hopefully he can just make the content and then it'll collab post on my page and then I don't have to post anything that day.
Perfect.
Win-win.
Well, anything besides pins? You doing any personalized gifts or anything?
No, definitely not. I'm literally just making pins and trying to survive. So
this happens every year. Why don't you just make more pins in the downline?
It's not actually the making the pins. It's actually just packing and shipping.
Okay.
Just,
it's just, and
you never know what is going to be ordered. So I can't just have it ready. Like you know, I mean, I know there's certain pins. So I made several hundred pins of the top sellers, but because we customize it slightly. So we do like a thin blue line or a red, white, and blue line or black center band. So every order they change. I normally do like 10 of each, but then once I burn through those first 10, it's like, okay, now I just got to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
What you been up to, Christy?
I've kind of forgot. It's been so long since we chatted the last conversations that I had. But I think the one thing, I'm almost embarrassed to tell this story because it was just idiot move on my part. You know, I'm making the boot purse, and I know I've talked about 100 zillion times, but anyway, I bought belt straps, you know, belt blanks to use as the shoulder straps.
Okay.
Or the purse, but it was too thick. I needed it to be thinner. And the first one I used my Skyther to slim that down, and it just wasn't smooth. So I'm like, you know, I need to use that spindle sander that I got because hey, that will work a charm. And let me tell you what, it did work a charm. The one thing that I was an idiot about is the fact that I didn't hook up my dust collection and I did not put my hood on.
Yeah.
I just went straight to town.
Oh, leather makes so much dust.
Oh yeah.
Jesus Christ. Too. The next morning I literally was coughing up black fuzz and I was like, I'm killing myself. I literally killed myself with that bad decision the day before. And I mean, I was hacking around with a terrible cough for quite a few days and I'm just like, why? I paused whenever I thought I need to hook up my desk collection or I need to put my helmet on, but nope, I did not. And I thoroughly thoroughly regretted that decision. But
I thought you were going to say the belt got caught on the spindle stander, started slinging around, whipping you. You couldn't reach the off switch. No.
No, it did go. It did go flying a couple times, but that was okay. It just went into the garage door, and I was able to get back on it. In hindsight, I mean, choosing to use that tool to do that project was a great idea. Now, had I hooked up dust collection and put my helmet on, that would have been the smarter things to do in addition to using that tool. But the boot parts turned out beautifully. Got my sewing machine out. Cut up and sewed up a couple inside pouches inside for like to put your little things in the purse of the shirt that Harold wore to my sister-in-law's wedding. So it's that extra connection of the shirt that he wore to her wedding. And then so the pocket of his shirt is also the little pouch on the inside of the boot purse. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I think they're going to. I've sent pictures both to my niece who's given it and then my ex-husband as well. And they're just both and my girls because it's their grandfather. And everybody's just like, this is just going to mean so much to them. And that's just, you know, that's why I enjoy making projects. And I've just really, really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to actually being able to post more about it because I've tried to keep it under the radar because I do not want to risk her seeing it ahead of time, because that's, you know, right. That's what it's seeing something in person is definitely for a better effect. So anyway, that's the main project that I was working on. So Dean, what have you been up to?
I both love and hate this time of year. Like, it's so nice. I just come out in the shop and I don't go back inside. Last night I went in at 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm just back here and I have a list on the wall and I'm checking it twice and trying to go through as much as I can. And I really like it because my shop gets super clean this time of year because I'm dreading starting the next project. So I'll go like sweep a corner or something instead of starting on the next thing. But the big drive this week was my brass rulers. So I posted 20 brass rulers for sale on Instagram on Monday. And by Tuesday morning, they were all sold out. I think I sold 13 or 14 the first night. And the next day I posted that I had just a few left and sold all the rest of them within an hour of that post. And wow. So I had kind of said on the post that I was going to not ship till Friday because I still had to get the packaging figured out. And how awesome you were talking about the packaging, that's what took all week. So right. Tuesday we had guests, and then Wednesday I had to get all the boxes ready. So the rulers, that's a new box than what I'm used to. So the boxes came in, I had to stamp all the sides. So it's 5 stamps on 50 boxes, and I'm just tunk, 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 tunk. Mm. And that took like 3 hours just to prep the boxes. And then I have to cut the foam to size to fit in the box. And then I had to draft the letter, like the little card, print out all the cards. And then some of the rulers I wasn't done jeweling. And so I had to finish jeweling all the rulers and then print all the shipping labels, make sure everybody paid. And Ben Butler almost got one over on me because I had checked he paid on the paper. And then on the Friday when I went to ship, he's like, oh, I haven't paid you yet. I was like, oh, damn, you would have got it for free, man, because I definitely checked paid next to his name. But got them all packaged up and everything. And I was really happy with the packaging. But yeah, it took time. Just I told Kristen, I said, this is where you lose money. And that there's some skill involved as far as like just the creativity and the troubleshooting of getting it packaged. But a helper could be doing this instead of, you know, I should be making more rulers, but I can't because I'm building boxes right now and printing shipping labels. But I got them all bagged up. It was 3 grocery bags full to get. I mailed 18 of them too. I hand delivered and brought them to the post office, put the first 6 in the deal. Like it was at night. It was at 9 o'clock when I'm mailing them. And I flipped the little deal up with, you know, you put the boxes in, it's like a big, a giant mailbox basically. And you put it and they all fall out the other side. And when I went to pull, the latch had locked. So the boxes are so long, they must have fallen in a configuration that told it was full. And so I couldn't do the rest of them. So I had to wait till 9 the next morning.
Oh, no.
Go back after the post office opened again. And I just put the remaining 12 in and did it one time and they all went. But I mailed those 12. I mailed those 18. I mailed my ornament swap item. And I've done 6 stamps in the last week, too. So I mailed 4 stamps on a Saturday morning also. So between stamps and rulers, you know, all the laser. So what hinders is I can't run the fiber and the CO2 at the same time because they've used the same dust extraction. So if I'm running, let's say coins, so I did all the coins for the ornament swap. While I'm running those coins, that's where the dust extraction is. So I can't run the CO2 to make stamps or engrave gifts or things like that. So it's been an interesting back and forth between, okay, I'm gonna let this laser cool down or this work surface cool down, switch my hose, run this other laser for a little while. That's been pretty interesting. And then the other thing, so a coworker of mine listens to the podcast and she's on our like party planning committee. And so she knew about the ornament swap. So she brought up in the party planning committee that we could do an ornament swap at work. And it's much, basically just you bring an ornament to work. You bring one right. And you leave with one. And I right. think they're supposed to be packaged or something. I have to check the rules tomorrow. But I was walking through the shop and I looked at some scrap wood that was just sitting on the table. I said, you know what? I'm going to just glue all this shit up and just see what happens. And it was basically wood that was too thin to be pin blanks. So I just glued them in stacks of 4, glued a 4 stacks of 4, let that dry overnight. And then the next morning, ran those 4 through the planer or the joiner, and then glued those 4 together with 2 blocks on each end and turned that into an ornament over the weekend. I was like, shit, this was kind of nice. I probably could be giving like my family ornaments every Christmas, handmade ornaments. Wouldn't be a bad idea. But I didn't film any of this just because I went a little overboard on the filming this weekend, and we can talk about that a little later. So today I didn't film anything. And that ornament, I thought about an ornament. Wesley, not Wesley. What's the guy that does all the rose engine jeweling? Rose engine turning? Real talented young guy. We had him on the podcast.
He did
the
Kelsey aluminum. Watson?
Kelsey Watson. He mailed me a bird, and it had this solid brass shaft in it with a hole drilled through it for the hanging point. And so I went to just put like an eye hook on this ornament I turned. I said, I've got brass, you know, 1/4-inch brass bar. And so I drilled a hole and I epoxied a 1/4-inch brass bar in and drilled a hole. And I was like, I don't really like this transition. I bought a swage block from Derek Melton and it came in. It was another one of these things like I wanted, but I didn't know what I would do with it. And so I took a piece of brass plate and some hammers and I hammered a little bowl in the swage block, drilled a hole in it. And so that's like the cap over the deal. I think it came out pretty good. It's not perfect, but it was pretty good. It was fun, distracting, but yeah, I've been back here nonstop. It's fun this time of year.
Yeah. I always thought it would be a cool thing to do to start at the beginning of the year and do one ornament a week. And then at the end of the year, you hang all 50, you'd have 51 ornaments.
Yeah. And we'll talk about ornaments, obviously, when we get into the meat of the episode here, but there are some ornaments that I've gotten over the year. I set up my whiskey barrel stave tree and I hung the ornaments from that I received 2 years ago when I bamboozled everybody into sending me ornaments. And there's some of them that are very simple and they're very cool. There's a lot of them that you didn't have to go way over the top. There's a lot of them that are just real simple and really neat. And I like them.
We'd like to take a minute and thank the folks over on Patreon for helping us out financially for the podcast. On our top tier, we've got Marion Ward from Creative Ward Gallery, Scott Warren from Daddy Yourself, Ozark Spirit, and Chris Shelby. We'd like to thank our folks over in the middle tier of Patreon. We've got Tony Langer from Langer Works, Susan DePlantis from Hearth and Garden Art, Stephanie Taddeo, and Kyle with Footwork Woodworking. All right. We want to thank all the folks that joined us on the ornament swap this year. We definitely had a bigger group of, I think 46 is what we had this year.
Good. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think 33 last year. So that was a good increase. And so I thought we'd kind of go through, do a little recap of each of the ornaments. And for folks listening along, if you want to check over at the Making Your Way podcast, the highlights on the Instagram page has last year's and this year's ornaments, if anyone wants to kind of peruse through that. But let's start out with the man that started it all, with Ed from Ed's Clocks and More. His is, he actually has a pine cone in there with epoxy that he turned. And I think, Dean, you got to see that in person as well, right?
Yeah, at Maker Camp, we saw it. And it was funny because at this point, I don't know that we were 100% committed to doing this again.
We hadn't talked about it at all, huh?
It's more effort than you would think. Just getting all the names together, getting all the shipping addresses, mailing everything out, advertising for it, when you want to kind of just coast at this at the end of the year. But I'm glad in hindsight we did it. And I'm glad Ed came up to us at Maker Camp and said that he had already made his and he was ready to go. So Ed kind of kicked us off and he was one of the first ones done.
Yep. And then we've got McNeil's Wooden Crafts. I think this is their theme ornaments that they do. I think they might sell them locally at Brunsville, North Carolina, and it's laser cut ornaments. And those are, and I really like the fact that so many of these ornaments really tie into the maker, whether it's where they're from or what they normally make or something they've made in the last year. It's just been a really interesting to see that kind of ties to them.
Yeah. And there's a few people that they have an ornament that they make for markets or for this time of year, and they're just throwing an extra one up. And that's great. Mm-hmm. Because obviously if you're making these to sell, you already have some pride behind them and it's a real product. And so we appreciate that you're willing to donate one to this cause. And so obviously this is a product they probably make and sell locally. And it's really cool, especially, I don't know if somebody from that area got it or who got it, but I hope whenever they do get it, that they like it.
Then our third ornament is Emmett from Dead Rice Woodcrafts. Now his ornament is something that he just learned at Maker Camp. He did the copper folding, is that what it was called? I think. Right. And I was just so impressed because this is something that he just learned how to do.
So are these like holly leaves or?
Mm-hmm. That's my
that's
guess.
What I would say. Yep.
Yeah.
And then Austin, what do you think? Those are berries. Yo, he's got it in front of a holly bush, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It looks like, I'm not sure. Maybe he turned those out of resin or something.
He probably did turn those. I was thinking he just bought them, but you're probably right.
Yeah.
And what's funny is copper stem wound up.
The copper is probably not as sharp as the holly bush itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. That is true.
Looks cool. Looks really cool.
And then we've got Shade Crow Studios. I didn't really know much about her until she joined us on the swap here, which has been kind of nice. We've getting to meet new folks here. And she says beautiful jewelry also. I'm not sure exactly what material this piece is, but I know she's made earrings similar to this same style. So it
looks like
that was
controller for a Ouija board.
That very well could be. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really what it looks like. It's a miniature of the Ouija board controller, and it's got some gold painted accents. And yeah, I don't know if it's an acrylic or if it's an epoxy or what it is, but it's definitely got some paint involved and a few different materials. It's neat for sure.
Yeah. And then the next one, Nick Burstold, he definitely had the community laughing, chuckling, and maybe even a little bit scared with his Santa Lecter severed head all out of walnut that he did on his CNC.
Did you vote on this? It was Dr. Lecter and he had another, was it a...
Yeah, I was trying to think
who
else.
I don't remember what the other one was. This is the one I voted for, though.
I voted
for
this
one, too.
Yeah.
And so it's Hannibal Lecter with the mask on, like when they wheel him out on the dolly. And then he did like blood on the neck and painted the Santa hat red. It looks awesome. I can't wait to see these start showing up at people's houses and in the reactions. And I hope whoever got this, that they're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I know who got all of these. I'm so tempted to say something, but as we're talking about them, but I can't because this episode will air probably before. But I'm super excited about so many of the ornaments. But anyway, yeah, that'll be fun. All right, our next one goes to Earl the Third, which Dean and I had the opportunity to meet him at Maker's Camp. And what's so cute about this ornament is that, at least for me personally, I can totally relate to this story of at the holidays or whenever you go over to like grandma's house and you see the tin of what should be cookies inside there. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm totally going to sneak in and get a cookie when I'm not supposed to. And then you open up the box and it's full of sewing notions and pins and thread and all that kind of stuff. So I just thought this was a great story and a really fun ornament.
Kristen and I were at Trader Joe's today and they had like their brand of Danish cookies. And I told her that was such a core memory. Like every Christmas going to my great grandmother's house, she had the blue tin of Danish cookies. And you would get the ones that had like the sugar on them, the ones without the sugar crystals. You left that for somebody else.
But
you're right. And then, you know, mid-year you'd see it in July and be like, are those cookies still good? And it was never cookies. It was always, you know, some baubles that she put in there for storage. So it was a really neat ornament and a cool story by Earl.
Yep. And then we've got Leah Learning. And I met her a couple years ago at Maker's Camp. And she did a replica of the Maker sign that Wesley Treat made a couple years ago at Jimmy's. And it was fun to watch her reel that she did because it's felt stitched with Maker. And then just to watch her process as far as cutting it out and just different options that she tried with the thread or with the details on it. And I thought what her end result was just a really, really nice ornament. So that,
yeah, it's cool. Yeah. It's really cool. It's hard to actually tell that it's felt because it looks like it's, it almost looks like a porcelain or something, you know, from the reel.
Yeah. All right. And then we got, Lindsay Creative. She did a copper piece, which I thought it was so fun because Chinese takeout, you wouldn't necessarily think about that for a Christmas ornament, but I mean, she did just such a beautiful job on that piece.
That's really cool. It's when she first started making it, I was like, what is going on? And then when it was completed, I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And, I like how it's like, you can see part of it coming out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause even the little chopsticks, like adjust, move up and down on the piece of copper holding it. So yeah, that was a fantastic ornament. And then we've got Ethan Carter. He made made like a little mini Maker pack. He's got the little miniature, he's got the raw or the wrap, and then he's got the miniature hex or X-Acto knife, and then the little mini ice pick, and then the little burnisher. And I mean, that took some serious time to put
this
that little thing together.
Because 3 years ago or 2 years ago when I did it, he sent me a mini X-Acto ornament. That was the ornament. So he's made them before. I'm sure he's made some other ones for other people or even for himself. But so he took something that he could have gotten away with just doing that, but he elevated it to the next level and added the two additional tools and the wrap. I bet you the wrap took him as long as it took to do any of the other stuff. The fact that I don't think individually any of these took a ton of time, but the fact that he didn't just mail it in at one, he did all of them and the wrap, the culmination is really cool. And I hope whoever gets it appreciates what it is.
Yeah, definitely. And then Scott Jabor, he made the replica. Yeah. Of the motorcycle rocking horse that he made for his son. Was that, well, you know, he started the original back in 2020 and then finished it like last fall or something when we had him on the podcast. And so to make a replica, a little bitty miniature of that with all the detail is just, yeah, that's just a really, really cool ornament that when you see it, you're going to think of him. Because you know that that's something he's made. You know,
there were a lot of really good ornaments that people made, but this was one that when I saw it, I was like, damn, this is a little too nice. Like, this is something that this was a lot of effort and work, and this is a nice piece. He had told me his wife wanted him to keep it, and if he would have made that decision, I wouldn't have been upset at all. Like, I hope he made another one for the house. Yeah, this is a nice ornament.
Yeah.
Plus, it's his, like, immediately.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Especially because not only the rocking horse, but he makes all those wooden toys.
Right.
You know, even at that scale.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then the next one, we've got Colin with Juniper and Sixth. And what I find most interesting about this, I didn't realize originally that he does not have a lathe. He's turning this on his table saw with his drill powering it.
Oh, wow.
Because, I mean, those kind of extra details I just find so interesting because I would not have the balls to do that, because that's he just did a great job.
Well, really, I'll tell you another interesting detail on this one is the brass accent at the top. You know, we talked about hanging mechanisms before. Instead of an eye hook, he's got this really neat nipple looking, you know, brass ornament, and it was a gas valve that he removed the handle, the quarter turn handle out of, to make the pass through for the leather strap. And what a neat, you know, addition to a piece of, you know, regular walnut wood that he did turn and has an interesting shape, but there's another little artistic feature to it to make a really cool ornament.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we've got Jeff, a weird guy, and he went over the top with the CNC on this one, with the walnut and maple. And he was doing some test runs too, so that was interesting to kind of watch him do some variations of the what he ended up with. And it's like, oh my gosh, to dial in your CNC, to be able to know your machine that well, and to turn, or not turn, but to cut this Christmas tree, but to where the maple only shows as the ornaments hanging on the tree. Yeah, that's just voodoo.
And this is one of those things you could see, if this isn't exactly on zero, you know, it's a three-axis CNC, but if you don't have the glue up on zero, you're going to have some maple on one side and no maple on the other side.
Right.
So
right.
It really shows how well he has the tool dialed in and how much time and you know, attention to detail he spent lining everything up to get this kind of three-dimensional double carve he made.
Yep. And then we have Henry from HT1 Metalworks. We've got a cast aluminum cat, the Yule cat. And what was really interesting too, I cannot pronounce the name, but he's got the story behind it as well. The Icelandic Yule cat that lurks about the snowy countryside during Christmas time and eating people who have not yet received any new clothes to wear before Christmas Eve. I just thought that was an interesting part to add. And, you know, the story as to why he chose that, because it's in the Christmas folklore.
That's cool. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I hadn't either until I read that. So I thought that was neat. And then we've got Al from Projects by Putz, who did a wild choke cherry sapwood ornament. And I think it's kind of like a little turned birdhouse, because he's got the whole, that's kind of what it reminds me of as far as looking like a little birdhouse.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very cool. It does look like a miniature birdhouse, sort of.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was thinking it. And then we've got Kevin with Keebler Woodworks, where he 3D printed two of the little holiday gnomes. And I'm a big fan of gnomes in Christmas in general, Christmas decorating. So I thought those were great little ornaments there.
That's cool.
And then, we've got Rebecca Johansson, and she had a lot of posts on making her pine cone also, which it was great to kind of follow the story as she was learning the different techniques as far as making that pine cone.
And I always like it's metal. Yeah. I always like the people like that do metal, and I hope that their ornament goes to someone who does wood, and I hope the wood person's goes to the soft skills person, and I hope the crocheted ornament goes to the metal. Like, that's my favorite. Whenever your discipline that maybe you have some nerves or anxiety about goes to someone who has no idea anything about that field and really appreciates it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I won't say where it goes to, but yes, I agree. All right. Then the next one, we've got Jerry Hyduk.
Let me talk about this one.
Yeah.
So Jerry, I already got my ornament, and it came from Jerry. So not only did he get his ornament done, he got it in the mail super quick because I got it on Saturday. And I don't know if you told us, Christy, what, on Wednesday? And he mailed it from California to Texas that quick. So he was out right the door away, the next day. Uh-huh. So it's kind of like an icicle with a double helix carved in it. So there's like a relief on the inside where there's double spiral down to the tip. And it's really pretty. He did a great job. I don't know what he finished it with, if it's just a whole lot of polyurethane, but it's got a thick clear coat on it. It's this real bright light wood, and it's got really good dimensions to it. So I hung it on the tree already inside when it came in, And when I was walking out earlier, my wife commented that she really, what's this new ornament? And then she was like, are you getting 50 more ornaments? I was like, no, just this one. And she said, oh, okay. Cause I don't know, 50 more that size. I was like, no, just this one. So, you know, it's obviously substantial and it caught her eye. I did laugh too. He sent a card in it and it said, you know, it said a lot of nice things, but it also said that, I like to give advice. Sometimes it's a little harsh. And I felt good about that. That made me warm and fuzzy on the inside.
He knows. Yeah. Yeah, that's Maple. And I think he used the total boat that he won.
Okay. I was wondering if it was like some Halcyon or something.
On the finish there. So, yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what it was then.
Yep. All right. And then we've got the Grant Alexander, and he had a little mini bowler trailer, which he was on the podcast a couple years ago talking about redoing his bowler trailer there. I'm not sure what material that is. I didn't see it in his
post. 3D printed.
Oh, okay. And then painted.
But what this picture doesn't show you is he did more work to it. So he hung like some Christmas decorations on it, really dressed it up. He painted it to match his actual bowler, like Christy was saying. But really neat. And if you know Grant Alexander or you listen to Clamp or you follow him, this would be a neat ornament to get, because if you know Grant, you know that he has this bowler trailer.
Yep.
And he loves orange.
Yep. And we know the shitter's full.
Yes. All right. Then, Dean, your mom's ornaments, Susan Duplantis, her ornaments every year. I'm just like, man, that is a beautiful, beautiful ornament.
She really it's funny because like we see her stuff all the time. And then I was showing somebody her page the other day and I'm like, damn, she just like everything she makes looks really, really good.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she hasn't gotten more followers.
You know, it's funny. So I was talking to somebody the other day and they're like, yeah, I do a little bit of stained glass. And I was like, oh, I know somebody who does stained glass. And I was like, check this page out. And they're like, oh yeah, but this person's like a professional. Like, that's not what I'm doing. And I was like, no, I mean, sure, that's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's funny. Like, cause she would definitely, you know, deflect, but she's been doing it for probably a decade. It almost feels like, I mean, she goes to class every week. I mean, she's definitely put in the hours on this to get to where she's at. And so I'll tell you some, you know, inside baseball on this one. She wanted to do, this is my mom. You know, she's like, I'm going to do an ornament. I'm going to order a kit and just, here's the kit. Here's all the pieces. I'm going to copy the directions. Exactly. She's not a modify everything person, but then the kit wasn't in stock in the size she wanted to do. And then the glass she needed didn't come in. And so she had to come up. She already had the idea of what she wanted to do, but she had to modify based off the, what she actually had to come out with the ornament, and she knocked it out the park. So I was glad she stretched that creativity some and, made something really neat.
Good.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
All right. And then we've got Ben from Make for Life Workshop. He had a little walnut. Let's see. He used walnut and ash and then turned this little snowman inside the encapsulated.
How do they ornament. Do this captured turning? Is it a hole saw through both ends or?
Yes. That's my understanding. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Yep.
I'm guessing then, Forstner through each side.
Forstner, but yes, that's true. And then
When it's square, and that way that you know you're at your 90s, and then you turn it.
Right.
Oh, yep. Wow. I would destroy every one of these.
Oh, I would. Me too. Yeah, me too. No. There was the fun conversation in the Discord. I think Justin asked him if he had done, because sometimes you could do it with the inside out and then you flip it back.
Bandsaw it. Your quarter band, each, you know, half and half each way. And then you flip each piece. 180 degrees and re-glue it together.
Oh, yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
And Ben's like, no, I didn't do that. And Justin's like, thank God, because you would have learned that way too fast. And that'd have been very frustrating if you learned how to do it that fast. But man, I mean, it just turned out good. And it's a nice petite size ornament. So, more petite the ornament, the trickier in my opinion.
Even like the little snowman in the middle. Every time I turn small stuff, I get impatient, put too much force and break it.
Yep, exactly. I'm with you there. All right. Then this next one. Well, you know, hey, I guess we'll have to talk about Austin's ornament. Austin, you give us the rundown of your ornament.
Yeah, I mean, most of it wasn't me. Most of it was Ben. So I figured it would be a good, he's been wanting to weld more. And I was like, hey, you want to come weld an ornament with me? And he was like, absolutely. You know, he is amped to do anything, you know, anything in the shop. He's like, yeah, let's go, you know, immediately.
Good.
So, but yeah, I saw a snowman made out of nuts, like bolts and nuts. Uh-huh. I guess last year, probably when I was looking through ornaments, and I was like, man, that would be a cool thing. So I I ended up wire wheeling all the galv off of it because I knew everybody was going to be like, oh, yeah, look at him poisoning his kid, you know? So I did that. And then really he showed him how to tack it together. And then he took it from there. The only thing he couldn't really do was I used a panhead, not a panhead.
Yeah.
A countersink.
Oh,
bolt.
For the top.
To make the top hat.
The top hat. Yeah. He couldn't really, you know, believe it or not, at 7 years old, you don't have the most dexterity. Like you're not, because first of all, TIG welding for a kid is super difficult because it's two hands and a foot.
And a foot, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of noise going on and a lot of dad yelling at you through the mask, you know, like, and so and he was struggling with that. So that was the main part I did. And then I tacked on the hanger, but the hanger is actually made out of a piece of TIG rod, stainless TIG rod.
And Austin just showed it to us because he obviously had.
Wait, is it not shipped yet?
Listen, motherfuckers, I've been mailing shit every day. It's on the list. Yeah,
mailing shit every day, but can't mail his ornaments.
So. It's on the table with all the. Look at this. Hang on, I'm gonna spin this. Look at this. These are all orders ready to go out.
He has four things on his desk.
Yeah,
way more than four.
Well, 4B. I won't divulge who's getting it because obviously they're not going to get it by the time the podcast deals. But I'm super excited about them getting your ornament just because this person will absolutely cherish this ornament. As, you know, I would too, but yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait for him to hold my nuts.
Yeah.
I know, I'm not going to lie. I know some people are intimidated about who they send their stuff to. And I sent mine to a top-notch guy. And I hope he doesn't, you know, look at it and find all the flaws.
I'm not going to throw it away, Dean.
All right. So then next we've got, Donna from Rockin' K Creations. They do a lot of Etsy projects that she turns, some garden type things. And I thought this, I don't know if it's a Santa Claus or a gnome Santa Claus with the big top hat, but I just thought it was
Billy
absolutely
Gibbons
adorable.
ZZ Top.
Yeah,
ZZ Top. Okay. Yeah. maybe that the ZZ Top Christmas ornament. But man, she did such a fun job on this little project.
So
here's
what's neat about this. I don't know if they found the podcast because of the swap or if they were already listening to the podcast, but do you know, Christy?
Yeah, I think after we met them at Makers Camp.
Oh, you met them at Makers Camp.
Yes. Yes. So then I think then they started listening to the podcast.
Okay, I've gotten the impression that they were back listening to the back catalog.
Yes, they are.
Because the husband wrote me some really nice things that he enjoys the podcast. They listened to it, and then they ordered stamps. And so that was two of the stamps I made last week were for Rockin' K Creations.
Yeah, I watched, I think it was the reel of this one where they were turning it. And I was like, man, what is this going to be? Like, it didn't make any sense. And then when they glued the beard on, I was like, that's killer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark and Donna. One. Yep, super nice folks. All right, so then we've got Eric from Overall Makerworks. This not so fun to watch?
On brand as can be, yeah.
Yeah. And even making that little bitty
hammer. Yeah.
Yes. So the ornament, I'm sorry, we keep kind of running away with it, but it's leather overalls hanging from a little copper hanger, and that is hanging inside of a walnut and cedar circle that has the podcast logo and little snowflakes around the ring that the little leather overalls are hanging in. But
even just the overall coat hanger. Yeah. That's really cool. Even just that little piece.
Yeah. Yeah, and when I saw the hammer on the like little carpenter hook on the leg of the pants, I was like, what a great little extra detail.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yep. All right. Then we've got Greg from Platte Valley Woodworks, and he turned, and I think that's walnut. He turned a Christmas tree, and that is just, it's kind of like the stair steps Christmas tree. Very unique, very pretty, really well turned ornament there.
That's cool. It looks like a nightmare to sand. It's like in between each one of those.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
All right. Then we've got Ed Johns. He made a little mini cutting board. And with a little knife attached there.
So I'm pretty sure he's got the podcast logo on the backside of this cutting board.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Because he DM'd me asking for the logo and I was in my car and I was getting frustrated because I didn't know what kind of, you know, you're messaging on Instagram and I'm one of those, like, I want all the details now. It's like he messaged, hey, you have a logo. And I go, yeah, what file type? And it was take, you know, he had probably moved on with life and I want to know the answer to my question. So I actually gave him access to the podcast logo folder and was like, don't mess it up or I'll kill you. So I probably need to go take his access off now.
It's trustworthy.
Yeah.
But that's cool because, I mean, he makes cutting boards all the time. That's one of his main things. So it's cool to...
I love when people do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now this, Beth Ann, she, I was actually over on my CPA page side. And when I had posted about the swap over there, she had messaged me and I'm like, absolutely join in on the fun. So I didn't get the details as far as what material this is, but it's coming to my house. This is one of the ornaments between Marvin and I we're getting. So I'll give you a little more detail when it comes in. I'm not sure if it's a wooden ball or if it's leather. That's kind of what I'm thinking. It's one or the other, or I guess it could be clay as well. But then it is painted red with white joy with the little dots on it. So yeah, that was a fun ornament for somebody that was on the other side.
What a fitting match that it has twisted twine and it's going to you.
I know. Mm-hmm. She knows. All right. Then we've got Straith. I hope I'm not pronouncing that wrong. For our second of the stained glass, beautiful colors that she's got in there with the green and the clear and the creamy white ornament.
That's cool. Dean, school us on stained glass. Is that lead that's around the outside? Like, would that be leading or what is that?
So, and I may get this wrong, but it's a foil that you wrap the glass in and then the solder attaches to the foil. So you're basically making a channel for the glass to sit in out of this foil. Then the lead is solidifying the shape of that channel and attaching them all together to make it rigid. So you can use leaded solder. And I think a lot of people do, but it's not like a malleable solder that they, you know, formed around. You take like a copper foil, the foil goes around and then the solder, I don't know how to say that, solder. Yeah. I'm putting an L in there and I guess you don't say it. The solder sticks to the copper paper and then whenever it dries, it holds that shape.
That's cool. Nice. It's cool that she went with like all the different colors and textures. Very cool. Looks like she needs a Hexacto in this picture. I'm just saying.
Yep. You need to get her one.
What's neat too, if you kind of look at her ornament, you see how the bottom has that like textured glass.
Yeah. You think it's clear?
Yeah. It's clear, yeah, but it's textured. So it's pebbled. And then the top has like a frosting. And so you can buy like just not green glass. You can buy glass with frosted, glass with stripes, glass with patterns, glass with, and you can really do some, you can really paint by using all the different colors of the glass. I mean, my mom does some crazy stuff with all green or all blue, but you can see the difference because it's different style blues texture, or greens. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I was wondering if that was clear at the bottom because I was like, that looks awesome. And I think, especially when you hang that on a Christmas tree and the lights behind it, you're going to come through.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, that'd be cool.
Yep.
Great job.
Right. Then Tony at Langer Works, he made us a little pickup truck hauling the Christmas tree as his ornament this year.
Oh, I thought that was like the Christmas pickle. Do you guys have a Christmas pickle?
Yeah. You put the pickle in the tree or something. I don't do that, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's got to be the Christmas pickle. It is in my mind. Whoever gets this, that's a pickle in the back of the truck. So Tony's one of those guys that never mails it in.
Oh, he does. So, yeah, you're right. He does it so good.
We've known Tony now for 3 years, almost four.
Yeah. And
I feel like this is one of those guys, like we've just seen crazy growth over the last. It was like once he had to stop working full time and could actually spend time in the shop, the stuff he makes and the products have gotten better and better and better. And this ornament, I mean, this is something you could sell these. People would buy
for sure.
That.
Definitely. Yeah. Very cool.
Yep. Right there. Oh, and then a Keith from Blackthorn Concepts. This is the other ornament that will be coming to my house.
A
miniature pickleball paddle.
So let me tip you on some stuff here. I don't know how miniature it is because looking at the ornament right next to it, it's at least that size. So I'm thinking it's probably 2 inches tall or something, but I don't know if you remember, Christy, when we did the live, Keith was one of the people on the live commenting, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Yes,
I don't know what to do.
Yes.
And we said, just do, what do you normally do? Just miniaturize something you normally do.
Yep.
Well, the pickleball paddle, this is a replica of his Make What You Fear pickleball paddle. And so, yeah, he made a miniature version of the pickleball paddle he made for his own podcast, Make What You Fear Challenge, last year. And I thought when I saw it, I was like, that was perfect. That's dead on brand.
Right.
That's exactly. And I love stuff like this on Christmas trees when it's not just all, you know, glass balls or whatever. Right. When you get all the unique things in, and you'll know every time you look at this that that's Keith made them.
Blackthorn green.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we've got Jen Griffin. She joined us with a very vintage looking ornament that she sewed up with a Twas the Night Before Christmas on the top part of it, and then just all the different plaids. It's kind of like a patchwork.
Yeah, it looks like a pillow off grandma's couch or something.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going, so pretty.
Did she sew all these little squares?
I'm not sure if that might have already been. I'm not sure.
Because if not, that is unbelievable. She has the world's smallest sewing machine. But either way, I mean, this came together great. This is a great traditional kind of classic Christmas style ornament.
Vintage, yeah.
Vintage. Yep. That's it.
Very cool.
All right. Then we've got Devin, 292 by Devin. He showed us a couple variations as he was working through the leather stocking that he was making. And, you know, it's fun watching folks learn to do certain things or improve their
skills. Really... Yeah, because this was one I always tell people, don't get discouraged with your first try. You know, judge yourself on your third or your fifth or your seventh try, not your first
right.
try. And his first try was a little rough, but he went back. He didn't just scrap it. He went back and he did it another time. I don't know if he did it two or three times total.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the final version, the stitching looks great. The lines are all crisp. You know exactly what this is. It's Christmas stocking.
Yeah, yep. Very cool. And all leather, which just makes it even cooler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then we've got Jacob from Maker Cuisine. He's got an inlaid snowflake on his ornament here.
Yeah, Jacob's really leaned in. He always liked that Shishugibon. I guess it's the Godzilla in him. But he's got like this divoted texture on both ends, and then he finished it with some kind of torch or something. But it's really cool. Jacob does a good job on these, you know, not plain or basic, but not over the top. Like, it is what it is. It's a Christmas ornament. It has a snowflake on it. But even in that, it's got this texture. It's got the flaming. Mm-hmm. It's got all these little details that take it to the next. And his ornament from my first year is one. It was one of the first ones I got. It's just a chunk of walnut carved like a star. And I said it on the live. It's one of my favorite ones. Like, I don't know what it is. He just captures what I think a Christmas ornament is supposed to look like.
Yeah. Really
very,
pretty.
Very true.
And then Koya from Barefoot Finn, she has a Christmas tree, a metal Christmas tree with the strings of ornaments running across it. It looks like a little miniature Christmas tree with all the little jewels and beads. Really pretty.
Yeah, it almost looks like, I can't tell from the photo, but it looks like chain, and it almost looks like a silver garland kind of going back and forth.
Yeah, she called it a hammered metal chain, hammered metal chain and glass seed beads is what she used for the ornament.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it is a piece of hammered steel to make that shape. And then she's got that chain and the beads are hanging off. So it is like circular beads like you'd see on earrings or something, but it looks like Christmas lights. She really knocked it out the park.
I really like the simplicity of the Christmas tree shape, because all of the attention should be at what's on the front of the tree rather than going real ornate with the actual shape of it. So yeah, that's just a really pretty ornament, and it will catch the light really nicely on a tree. All right. Then we've got Tim, the shop teacher. He's got another gnome and the turned top with a beard and the little,
I wonder. I need to see if he's got a video making this one.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's cool. When you watch him on a lathe, it makes me realize that I'm not good on a lathe, like on a wood lathe. Like, I'm not good on a wood lathe. Yeah, it's I love these gnomes. Like, I think I think they're cool. It'd be cool to do a tree that has a bunch of these on it, you know, that you make each one.
The hat on that one reminds me, I don't know if you guys ever, when you were kids, played the Sorry game, the little the little
pieces exactly
like that went around. That's kind of what it reminds me of there. All right. Then the next ornament would be from my better half, Marvin Park.
I haven't seen this one yet.
Oh, you haven't seen it? Yeah. Yeah. So he turned what would be like a bangle, like a woman's bracelet bangle on walnut. And oh my gosh, the pictures just don't do it justice as far as all of the just the character in that piece that he turned. And so then he turned that, and then he did some hammered copper to cut and give a little decoration for what's hanging on the inside there. So yeah, it's copper and walnut.
And a leather strap.
Mm-hmm. It's making me wish I bought that box of resin blanks you had, Austin, to make the bangles out of.
I still got more. If you want some, I'll send you some.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is almost like it's really thick. So it looks almost like a shadow box.
Right.
Like, it looks like a miniature shadow box.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It turned out really nice. All right. Then the next one we've got is Trey Studio Woodworking.
That's JR.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, look at him, Mr. San Francisco 49ers. Yeah.
Does JR live in Texas?
No, he's in
San Francisco.
California. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So he's got a Dia de los Muertos sugar skull with a San Francisco 49ers stuff embellished in it.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It'd be neat if they won the Super Bowl and you got this ornament this year.
Yeah. That would be cool.
That'd be nice timing. As a Kansas City Chiefs here, no, we don't want that to happen, but it would
they
be
lost,
cool.
They lost tonight, Christy.
I know. Well, they're kind of falling apart, but anyway, we won't go any further in that. All right. Now, next we've got the Frozen. We've got Griffin makes, Jacob made the Olaf. Leather hand carp. That's his name. I was trying to Olaf, think. I couldn't remember.
This one, when Kristen went through them, this was her favorite. She liked this one. She asked me if, I had gotten an ornament from this guy, and I was like, I don't think I've ever gotten an ornament from Griff. I couldn't remember, but she was like, well, see if you can get an Olaf one. I was like, well, let's see if it comes in.
All right. Oh, the very next cool. one would be me. I did something very different. There's no barn wood involved, and there's not even any twine involved.
This one's super off brand for you.
Yeah. But the reality of it is this is very on brand for me otherwise, because I love doing stitching. I love doing cross stitching. This is just something I never post. So I bedazzled with the little beads. I just kind of like sketched out a design on the leather as far as just making some different designs that kind of look like what I thought like a snowflake would work as. And then I stitched the beads on each of them. And then I glued the two sides together and then stitched that all together. So
that's cool way to hide the stitches too. Good to go back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Well, and then I could have two patterns.
So you're not passing through. You did and the other, and then you stitched them together. Oh, yeah. Cool. Okay. And they're not the same pattern now that you say that.
Or color. I mean, they really, if you've got a one theme or the other, if you'd prefer to have it look one direction or the other. But
That's neat.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So this
actually is on brand. I forgot about all those pants you make where you stitch the beads on the back to say juicy. So this was more, this is on brand.
Yeah, you're right. But not everybody knows about that side of me. So,
well, I can't wait for my Christmas present, the thick filet shorts.
All right. Then we've got Chad from Break, Build, Repeat. Now, did you guys see his reel? Because his ornament actually glows in the dark.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The snowflake. So it's a two-sided. It looks like walnut, Christy?
I think so, yes.
And then it's got a snowflake on one side and then his, a very pronounced facial hair and glasses on the other with a Merry Christmas theme. But when you turn off the lights, the snowflake glows in the dark.
That's cool.
Yep, he's a talented guy.
Yeah, for sure. All right, then we've got Joy Steelblade. We've got, I think that is on the laser, a snowflake with, and I'm not sure the red underneath there, I'm not sure what material.
It's epoxy. Yeah, he told me it was epoxy. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, that looks cool. Very good.
Yeah.
I think he said that he's sending a handful of them, right? So there's a couple different color ones.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
I missed that. Okay.
That's cool. So he used his laser and then it's a eye candy pigment and aluminite epoxy.
Yep. All right, and then we've got Grumpy Gramps Forge, and I just love this tree, this Christmas tree, forged Christmas tree. It reminds me of what I an arrowhead or something like that, or like the flint napping that you guys were doing. It looks like a flint-napped
arrowhead, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I liked how it's forged all the way to the hook.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Is it copper? Or steel?
I doubt it. Looks like steel.
Okay. I can tell. Yeah. Sometimes copper looks like that when you forge it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. When he said that, I was like, wow. That's Dwayne. And then some of these are kind of out of order because I missed them earlier, but we've got Justin for Bear Make It. He turned, it's kind of like a little spindle with all kinds of different Christmas colors and different textures on the spindle here.
You know what it looks like? Did you guys ever play croquet? The sticks that you stick in the ground that's kind of what in the color and all of it kind of looks like croquet sticks. Yeah,
that is a good
I like that we gave him grief on a Saturday night and he got off the Zoom call and then went turn this and was like, okay, I'm done.
Proper pressure.
He needs to get on the lathe more. I know he's got a baby at home, but
yeah, he does do such great work though. For sure. Man, all right. Then we've got Noah with Smiling Wolf Workshop. And man, that is a beautifully tooled.
Yeah. These leather tool
ornaments.
Oh, this is leather. Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
These leather tooled people are unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. How the hell, man, people that can control the color dye to like,
yes,
to not run so small.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. He did a great job on that ornament. Beautiful work. Oh, and then here we've got Dean with his Dean, wasn't your ornament one of the very first ones that came through?
Yeah, well, I felt this pressure to get everybody on their horse, and so I wanted to show. And then after I was like, well, I hope I didn't go too hard, and then everybody's like, oh, this is the expectation. Like, I should have done something maybe more basic to just get people motivated. But it was just a leather bag that I hand stitched one night on the Zoom call. I had my iPad up and I just stitched it. And so talking about hiding the seams, I have this white fur trim or whatever. That was a Santa hat I had inside. I cut up to get, so that's
the white trim
off the Santa hat. I glued on to hide the seams on the leather bag. And then I had these old glue ups. So that's what these presents are. Same thing I made the ornament from today. It was the same pile of glue ups from a project years and years ago. And I was like, well, if I resaw these on the bandsaw and then put another piece between, I have a strip of Paduke in the middle and it looks like ribbon wrapped around packages. And then I made laser cut some little bows and put them in place with the brass nails. That was fun because the first one I tried to hammer, the percussion broke the bow. And so I ended up using a vise to push the nails in. It's like, that really worked out well. The grumpy grunkle didn't go with it. It's just the bag. Right. And then to keep the bag puffed out, I have a tennis ball in the bottom of the bag. And then I have another piece of wood on top of that. So the presents have basically like...
Oh, something to stand on. Yeah.
Well, so there is a toothpick through the bottom of the present and then into this wood that's on top of the tennis ball. And that holds them at that orientation so they don't fall out.
Great idea.
Yeah, and then I laser engraved the podcast logo and the mouse swap on the bottom.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah. All right, and then the last, I think we got two left. We've got Jacob from Other Dog Design. He 3D printed, did some customization on this 3D print, and then inside there is our logo, and also the recipient's logo will be on the other side of that ornament there. I only showed the one side because it's in... in case it takes the recipient a little bit of time. Oh, yeah, so
he knew whose logo to put on it whenever he was making.
Well, he didn't print. He waited. Like, as soon as I sent him his who it was, he's like, okay, then I'll print the rest of it. So the little section on the other side.
He had their logo already.
Yes, he did. Yes. All right. And then the last ornament we have was from Stephanie. And she did a...
Yeah, it's like a string of crocheted stars or snowflakes.
Yeah.
So the interesting one with this is she just learned to crochet. So at lunch at work, two of the ladies sit at a table and she started with one of those little Woobble kits. And now she's just going to town. She's made like 50 of them. She's made blankets and beanies. Like she's really gone somewhere with it. And so when she asked, I was like, well, yeah, you should do a crochet one. I mean, that's something you're into now. And so, yeah, it's like shooting stars or hanging stars. It's really pretty there in red thread. So I hope it matches whoever gets its decor.
This is something that like never makes sense to me. Like, how do you make a shape out of yarn? Like, and control what's going to happen? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I mean,
I'm
never
sure that wasn't a pattern. I'm sure she had to figure out, how many stitches to do what.
And that actually, I had test run a few. You can get patterns to what for. I don't know that this is a pattern, but you can get patterns to make these. And I tried it. And I can't read a pattern. That's one thing I discovered. I cannot read a pattern and crochet. I mean, I can crochet, but I can't read the pattern in order to crochet a specific thing. So I definitely hats off to her because I tried and failed miserably. When I tried to do something very similar to this, I'm like, I can't read the pattern and I can't figure it out just to be able to make it. So it definitely takes a lot of eye-hand coordination and making that work.
All right. Well, I just want to tell everybody, thank you for participating. You know, it's only through your participation that we get to do fun things like this, and we hope it continues to grow. Christy, do you have a count on how many additional toys were donated by folks in the community?
I think we, as far as folks that contributed, I think we're up to about 25 folks that contributed. So,
and then the podcast is going to buy a present for all the ornaments that were donated, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep.
All right. So that puts it at about 65 to 70 gifts given to kids as in conjunction with the ornaments that were given out.
Yep. Yep. And all of the, all of the ornaments all around, just all the ornaments and the gifts. It's just super fun and exciting and just really appreciate folks' involvement in here.
All right. And I have all the coins made. I got to get the addresses and I need to buy some stamps. And then if you'll bear with me, I'll try to get those out maybe by the end of the week. We'll see the holiday crunch. You might not get it till after Christmas. I apologize for that, but it's coming. And again, thanks everybody for donating. Thanks everybody for participating.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us today. If you like this episode, please give us a review and subscribe. We'd love to hear from you. So reach out to us on Instagram at Making Our Way Podcast or on Patreon. You can find all of our latest individual content on Instagram or YouTube. I'm at High Caliber Craftsman. Dean is at Dean_Duplantis. And Christy is at Twisted Twine Woodworking. Lick it, stick it, see you later, bye.
On our first tier of Patreon, we'd like to thank the folks over there. We've got Jacob from Griffin Makes, Jacob from Other Dog Design, Keith Drennan from Blackthorn Concept, Justin from Bear Make It, Jeff Stein, a weird guy, Dave Bauer, Caitlin Landerneau, Morley Kurt, Greg at Platte Valley Woodworks, Brendan McDonough from McDonough Design, the Grant Alexander, Jen Griffin, the Black Sheep, Brian from Moonshine Leatherworks, the Makeshift Podcast, Maritime Knife Supply, Henry at HT1 Metalworks, Brad Harrison from Brad's Customs, Steve Delaney from One Old School Pirate, Kelsey Watson, Dan Gallagher from Goofballs by Dan, Chris Powell from Full Steam Design, Spaghetti and Waffles, Rebecca Johansson, Ira Housework, Eric from Overall Makerworks, Ed John from ButtJoints.com, Dave Beckwith, Rob DeMarco, Dave at Atomic Airship Works, Earl III, XYZ, Dana and Emmett at Rescue Room on Summit, and Max at Camp Arrowhead. Thanks a bunch, folks.